Hey, it's Steve Imke. In the fall of 2016, I had an opportunity to spend two nights with a class full of hobbyists that wanted to learn how to take a hobby that they love and turn it into a viable business. During those two nights, I took them on a journey of business entrepreneurship. I'm sorry you didn't make it, and I hope this is the next best thing. Here are excerpts from that live event. Hope you enjoy it. But even more important, I hope it inspires you to get off the couch and do something with it. Thanks for listening. And so let's assume we hit the go button. We're going to continue to move along. Now's the time when we have to go through what we call the market threshold. So we'll talk a little bit about market analysis and SWOT here. We'll talk a couple other things here. So we want to be able to identify our target market. I am a believer in, and I probably should have added these to the slide package, but I'll talk a little bit kind of off the cuff here. From the target market, we talk about what I'll call the customer segment that goes out there. And so I think what you need to do here is identify who the ideal customer is and continue to narrow that list down. Because in the old days, what we used to do is we used to develop products for the masses. So if I was going to come out with a new shoe, I knew that if I didn't sell a million of the pairs of shoes, I couldn't afford the advertising. Today, that's not the case. Today, we live in what's called the long tail economy. And essentially what that is, what the long tail economy is it says that there are very small niche markets. If I want to sell a pair of high top pink Converse tennis shoes, that's only going to appeal to a very small audience, but I can find that audience today. Where in the past, I would never been able to produce that in enough quantity to be able to do that, because the only way that I had to get to them was mass advertisements. That I'd have to go on television, I'd have to do, you know, go in magazines and everything else. That was very expensive. My customer acquisition costs were huge. Today, I just have to put a picture of that on Instagram, for example. A couple people will share that, and the next thing you know, I got a following of people who want pink Converse tennis shoe. So I can get to very, very small niche markets today with social media and things like that. Not to mention, we talked about 3D printers and a lot of other kind of things. The cost used to be that I would have to, the only way I could sell was essentially in a store. Well, stores take margin out of the deal, right? Because that was the only place. Now I sell online. I don't have any carrying costs. You want to order it? No problem. I'll build it. So I don't create a bunch of inventory until I know that I have a sale. Then I go ahead and I build it, and I send it out there, right? I can ship it. Shipping costs are almost nothing today. Fulfillment costs, I can ship it over to China, and I can have it developed for a fraction of the cost. Today, quite frankly, I'll be honest with you, I'm a big believer in outsourcing a lot of my labor. So to kind of give you some idea, I told you I write a blog, but I told you I was a flaming dyslexic. So you have any idea what my source documents look like? They're comical. Like being a principal, you probably have seen my work. It's downright funny. So I have to send it to an editor. Well, I have an editor that happens to live in Calgary, Alberta. That goes ahead and edits my work. I do a lot of social media work. That's a lot of very time-consuming effort. Right, I have a Twitter account and thousands of Twitter followers, quite frankly, and you know they're constantly, you know, sending messages. They're going out there, and you still have to keep that massive flow of information out there to keep these people engaged. So I have a gal that lives in the Philippines who's basically acts as me, that does social media stuff for me. $6 an hour. Okay, all right. So today I had a problem with my website where something ran amok and sent me 58,000 emails that something was underfunded, kind of a thing. I mean, it literally clogged up my email kind of a thing. It was an infinite loop. So I have a programmer who goes out there and works on my website, also $6 an hour, happens to live in India. I mean, I have a lot of others that I've used. I actually hired a gentleman in Ethiopia to write a research paper for me. It turned out to be about $2 an hour to go do that. I'm thinking, you know, grass hut, laptop, solar cell kind of a thing. That's all I can figure. But you know what? He went to university in some place in the UK kind of a thing. So he's a college guy. I'm not. So I'm thinking, pretty good thing, right? So I'm just trying to tell you that today, the costs for you to develop a product is way down. So it doesn't cost as much to get to them. It doesn't cost as much to do the work to kind of make that. And as a result of that, costs have gone down. It's actually changed a lot of different things. And we'll talk a little bit about, we get to business planning, and I'll share some of my Steve-isms, if you will, around that as well. But so we want to identify who the target market is, what their demographic, and what I will add is not only demographic, but psychographic information. Has anybody heard that term before, psychographics? Interesting that, you know, it was about a year or so ago, we all discovered that now the government knew who we called. They had a list of telephone calls, and everybody was completely outraged. And quite frankly, if they only knew what other things they know about us. As a matter of fact, I was reading an article this morning about Facebook and how much Facebook knows about you. Okay, but let me. I don't want to get too far away from psychographics. But think about this. So you go to a store and you pick up toilet paper and you ring it through the register, and they have the UPC code on there, right? It rings up and it says Charmin 12 roll double ply toilet paper. Then you go ahead and you take maybe you're at King Soopers or Safeway, and you slide your loyalty card down there, right? Or maybe you put your credit card through there. Both of them have what? Your address on it. They make that correlation at the end of the day. There's this big database out there, big data farms out there. They know whether you buy single ply or double ply toilet paper, 12 roll or 24 pack rolls, and whether you like Charmin or you like Great Northern or whatever. That's the kind of information, that's we call that psychographics. This information is available to you, and later on in the course, I think pretty close here, we'll get on the internet. I'll kind of show you some things that go in there. Now, not only that, I can literally drill down to any one of you, and I can find out what there is about you. I won't drill down to any one of you. I'll just pick me, for example, so you can look at it. Right? I've shared that I'm a motorcycle guy. I've shared that I do have a recreational vehicle and stuff like that. You see, I just talk about hunting and stuff, and I'll bet all those things come up in my profile. Because it knows that, because I spend more than the median on those types of things, and as a result of that, it shows up for me. So that's the kind of information that exists out there as we kind of get in there. So we identify the target market, and you know, sometimes it's not a 100% direct correlation, and we'll talk a little bit about that, I think, as we get going here, and we'll take a look at a buying habit of somebody that you'll see that, oh, if they buy that, then they generally buy companion products. So, for example, if you were looking for country club kind of membership types of things, you might go and see how much they spend on sports stuff. You know what I'm saying? That kind of stuff. But if they spend money on golf clubs, then they're likely going to be there. So you find some things that are kind of similar that kind of goes out there. And some of them are even more obscure than that as we kind of drill down to some of the examples right here. Then we're going to look at, from a market analysis, we'll look a little bit at the competition, and we'll take a look at what their strengths and weaknesses are. And then we'll talk about market trends and identifying what industry trends. So, you know, one of the things when I talk about that, I'm going to introduce something, again, it's not in the slides, but I'll talk a little bit about business model canvas, which is kind of a bit of a newer a way to kind of a approach this. And as a result of that, we'll begin to look at things, external things that kind of affect things. We talked a little bit about the Harry Dent example with the motorcycles earlier. And I see you're wearing a watch. Does anybody else have a watch here? Two watches? Three watches? Well, usually that's not too many. So how do you tell your time?
Myself.
There you go. All right, so now if you were a watch person, you probably wouldn't have thought, you know, if you were Timex, for example, you probably didn't think that somebody with a cell phone was going to take your business away, and that's what we're kind of talking about, some of the distracted kind of the things that are not perfectly aligned there. And we'll talk about ways to do some of this market research, and that's kind of where we're headed right now. So here's a couple different sources. First of all, let me ask a question. Does anybody in this room not have a library card? You do not have a library card. Two people don't have a library card. So here's the deal. Get a library card. Big deal here. And so some of the tools that we're going to explore here, I will go ahead and kind of show you how some of this stuff works here. Trade associations. Anybody know what a trade association is? Almost every industry has one. All right. And these are, so I'm a bourbon drinker. And so I can tell you that Bourbon only is produced in the state of Kentucky, because if it's produced anywhere else, it's just got to be called whiskey. Okay, only bourbon could be thing in there. It has to be made with a certain formula. It has to be more than 50% corn, and so on and so forth. So, quite frankly, there's a very few bourbon manufacturers. All right, I think I've been to all of them. I did a bourbon tour one year on a vacation, so I went in there and went to every one of the distilleries that I could find and taste their wares to see what they had. So, but that was, by the way, that was repay, because my wife is a wine person, and I did two vacations where, and I don't drink much wine. I did two vacations where every day we did two wineries for, you know, when it gets old when you're out for over a month and you're doing two wineries a day, but especially when you don't drink that much wine. But if they have a trade association for the few bourbon manufacturers out there, I'm going to tell you what they got one in your industry. Okay, so there's actually, again, Pikes Peak Library District has a Gales directory of trade associations. You put in whatever keyword it is, it'll search it and they'll find those trade associations. So I always like to tell a story with respect to that. I tied a documentation and training business, and I was part of the American Electronics Association trade association. I didn't do anything really with electronics, because I mean, maybe some of my clients did, but I was able to get in there. Now, so here's the thing. The magazine, the newsletter they have, is full of ads for things that people in the electronics think. So if you want to know what's up and coming and what other people are doing in your industry, it's always good to be part of that. Now, it cost me money to join that one, but quite frankly, we had a health insurance plan that you could get through them that literally, my ROI was less than 2 months. So the cost of my annual membership saved me in my health care costs in less than 2 months, for example. So literally, it paid me to be part of that trade association, if you know what I'm saying, because my health insurance from the company went down. Not to mention, I got lots of information, statistical things, very specific to that particular industry. So yesterday, 2 days ago, I should say, I spent about 4 hours on a tractor drilling wheat. I was out with one of the farmers, the sun went down, I'm sitting there talking to him, and I went in there, and of course he's sharing with me, he just recently got back from a trade association in Iowa somewhere where they were talking about all kinds of things related to kind of farming stuff. So regardless of whether it's good market analysis, it's always good to be part of a trade association to understand what kind of things are doing. Bureau of Labor Statistics is the next one. Huge information in there about whether businesses are rising or falling, kind of a thing, whether there's increased employment in a particular industry. They do a lot of projections and that kind of stuff. Your competitors are also a good source of information. And we'll kind of look at some of them as you go through there. All right. So one of the first things I'll talk about right here is a tool called Reference USA. So I'm going to break a point. Remember I told you about being able to look up individual people? This is this lifestyle database down here. But we're going to click on Reference USA, and I'm going to log in using my library card here. So here's what you have. You've got a myriad of different databases that are in there. But the first one we're going to talk about is the business database. Now, I don't care whether you're talking about vendors that are going to be suppliers to you, or your competitors, this is an awesome way to do research on them. So we're going to click right here, and as you can see, there's 44 million businesses that are in there. So we're going to click on that. Now, this is the way it would normally come up here. You can enter, you know, if I was going to do some research on a particular company, and basically, if you've got a business telephone number, you're in this. So if you're a home business, remember that was almost 50% of them, you may not even find them if they don't have a separate business number. But for the most part, if you're looking for anything that's a little bit larger than that, you're going to go there. Now, this would be if you just wanted to do that. But I always tell people to just go to the advanced search tab here to go off and look for stuff. So there's a variety of different ways that I can do it. And as you can see, right now we're taking a look right here. And this was telling me that based upon what we've selected here, which is verified businesses by phone number, there's 15 million of them right here. I can uncheck that and that number goes up. But let's say I wanted to go ahead and I wanted to just find out a specific kind of industry that I'm going to. I can either enter a NAICS code or SIC code. Has anybody heard of that before? It's like the Dewey Decimal System for business. So essentially, every business has one. And here's a good example as we kind of go down this other path. So forestry and agriculture, for example, are connected. And so as we think about this, and the way I usually explain this is that may be the most significant digit in the six-digit code that it would have. And so the first digit might be for everything that is related to agriculture and forestry. So that's the one series number, let's say. But we have, then the next biggest division that occurs are things that have roots and things that got hooves or feet, right? And so that might be the difference between the next least significant digit would be roots would have that, and then we might have hooves. So if we had hooves, for example, now we have to figure out, well, what kind of hooves they are. Are they pig hooves? Are they cow hooves? So let's say we pick cow hooves. Well, then we need to figure out, is it going to be dairy cows, or is this going to be beef cows? Or is it going to be a stockyard that has something to do with that beef cow business? Does that make sense to you? And so we continue to drill down. So let's just pick up, I mean, tell me where do you want to look down? We'll just pick anyone. You know, me to pick one?
Pick one.
All right, I'll pick construction, let's say. All right, I actually want to click that. So we're going to drill down. So we can get down toward, let's say we want to find a home builder. So building, construction, general contractor. So we're going to open up that one right there. General contractor, single family homes. We can open up that one right down there. What do we want to do? Yeah, we want to go ahead and deal with, you know, people who've got water damage and restoration types of things. So maybe that's what we want to do. We click on that one right now. And if I update the count right here, of businesses that are in that business, there's 13,307 businesses in this database. That's not going to do me a whole lot of good, though, right? Well, because they're all over the globe. So the next thing I might want to do is I might want to narrow that down by geography. So let's just say I wanted to go ahead, I'll just say metro area here. And so now it comes up down here, the metro area has been added. So I'm going to select now state of Colorado, and we'll go Colorado Springs. Now let's update the count. Now we're down to 60. All right. Maybe now I really want to say, I'm really only interested in certain, like, number of employees. I really want to deal with a small firm, just 1 to 4. Update the count, 32. Maybe I want to add 5 to 9 in there as well. I can do that too. Now I'm up to 44. Now I want to view the results. As I go down here, here's all the different companies. So let's just pick one. Let's say, I don't know, we'll just pick this one here, Bison Builders. So click on it. Now, if I click on that, I'm just going to go get the information on this particular company right here. So here it tells me what other things that they do right here. So they're also ceramic tiles, general contractors, home improvement. There's the water and restoration. Here it tells me a little bit about them in a paragraph there. This is one of the things I think is rather an interesting one, business demographics. They have one location. They did $136,000 last year. They have been doing business for 33 years. It's always nice to know how long they've been in business. They are a home-based business, yes, right here. Their credit score is a B. Now, if you want to go, you can actually get their full credit report right there.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, huh?
How does all organizations get into that database?
You don't get into it.
They put you in for your taxes.
Exactly.
So it's automated.
Completely automated.
Okay.
And the key of this is you have to have a business telephone number. So if you just have your home phone number and it's residential, you won't be on the list. But if it's business, shows up here. All that stuff is kind of correlated.
Wow.
All right? Yeah.
What if you use your cell phone as your business and your personal?
Probably not going to be in there.
Okay.
All right? Type of thing, right?
Okay.
So looking for other people that are in the home business, hobby business, probably not going to find it in there. But if you've got a vendor who's providing fabric, for example, so if you were to go to like Joann's Fabrics or Hancock Fabric or something like that, I can guarantee they're going to be in there. So now, if I got a call on this company, I know that I can call on this Doug guy. So I don't have to call and say, hey, can I please speak to your president or whatever? And I picked a really small list. So if they had a vice president of operations and sales and marketing, most of those are going to be listed. So now if I want to deal with their purchasing department, I find their purchasing person and I call and I say, I'd like to speak to so-and-so. Make sense?
Wow.
It's a very valuable tool. So let's take a look. So this is, here it talks about how they even spend their money. They spend between $500 and $1,000 on accounting, contract labor, and legal fees, and so on and so forth. And here's their sales by volume. Ooh, they must have had a really bad year in 2015. And look what happened to their employee size. They had employee size kind of drop that year as well. All right, and so here's some more information about them. Business history, so you can literally pull up the reports from different years. And now you say, this is what I want, competitor-wise, who their competitors are. And so now it's going to list all of their direct competitors based upon their location. By the way, you can take all this information on that previous list where I had all those things, export it to a flash drive that you bring to the library. Or by the way, if you have a library card, like two of you don't, if you have a library card, you can just do this from your home computer, just like I'm doing it right here. And I could download it right here. See this little button there? It says download. I download either this one record or when I was back earlier on the previous screen. So let's go back here. I could take all this right here and right down there, download it up here. Where is it? Download right there.
Can you download it into like Excel?
Yes.
And put it into Access?
Exactly.
Oh,
I want to show you one other thing while I'm here. The heat map kind of shows you where they are, where their concentrations are. So if I'm going to sit down there and I want to open up a business and I want to figure out where they are, and so some of them have got, you know, they're kind of overlapped a little bit, kind of a thing. So it'd be easier if I did something like a liquor store or something like that, where you now start to see where things are. You can see there's places are hot. What?
Yeah. Just don't do a pot store.
Pot store.
You'll find them everywhere.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Okay. And so what was your question? Oh, you wanted to do the credit thing. Yeah, let's see right here. Ticker symbol, wealth, website, square footage, database. I think there is a way to go in there. You'd have to play with it to go in there, but I'm almost positive in one of these things you can expand it and get it based on credit score. If nothing else, you could just simply go and export the whole list to an Excel spreadsheet and then sort it by that column, and you would have everybody who has a great credit score. All right, pretty valuable. Okay, so let's talk about another one, because we talked about a lifestyle database. So now I'm going to just put my name in there. Oops. I can tell you I'm the only one in the country, so I'm just going to go view results. Oh, I guess I lied. Okay, but here I am, right here. Oh, they don't spell my name the same way. Okay, and this one right here, that's actually my son's house. So that's really me too. So so let's click on Steve here. So here it tells me, gives you my estimated household income, tells you what my estimated home value is. It tells you all kinds of things about me. But here, remember I was telling you about lifestyles and interests? Right here. I read a lot of books. Motor vehicles, automotive, motorcycle enthusiast, truck enthusiast, outdoor recreation. I used to have a sailboat, actually several of them. Hunting, outdoor sports, pets. I used to have an invisible fencing business. You know I have pets. Purchase behavior, business office supplies. And you would expect that, right? So what I'm telling you, I could drill down to find out anybody who buys business office supplies. Now I know, and of 1 to 4, now I know they're generally in the home thing. Does that make sense? It is very creepy. I'm a catalog shopper, child and family products, gift giver, internet purchaser, general sports. You can see all that. I mean, this is kind of scary. So here's how I use this particular thing. So I just found that last guy who was that person. I'm going to make a call to him. So I go ahead and I do a lifestyle database. Then I go ahead and I told you I deal with oil and gas guys. I love guys who have skiing and outdoor kind of stuff. Because they're in Houston, Texas, and it's, you know, December. I'm going to be sure to tell them what the snow conditions are. And I'm going to tell them, I'm going to just lay it out on the line. I'm going to say, yeah, you're my last sales call of the day because I'm heading to the mountains tomorrow and do a little skiing. Oh, really? Because I already know they're a ski person. Kind of a thing, because I've already done this research, right? And they're going to sit down, and the next thing you know, they're going to say, well, what's the ski report? I'm going to say, well, let me tell you what, I just looked at it, because I already did it before I made the phone call, because I already knew that I'm going to feed them a line, right? When I got this job working at Pikes Peak Community College, for example, I'll be honest, the gal that I was interviewing with, the vice president, I went ahead and looked her up. I saw she was a big pet person. So the first thing I brought up when we sat there and talked about it was, I just, on my way here, I stopped across the street at the pet store and ended up buying some dog food and stuff like that. Oh, yeah, well, what kind of dog do you have? Next thing you know, we're chatting about dogs. 5 minutes into the conversation, you know, we're best friends. All right? So you find something of common, you know, common thing. And the fact of the matter is I already knew where I was going to go with the conversation. Do you know what I'm saying? I didn't overtly say, hey, do you got pets? Do you know what I'm saying? I interjected things, and all of a sudden they respond, oh, how's the snow conditions, or how's this? You know what I'm saying? Because you can always find something that you might have in common with the other person by drilling down. So short of embarrassing anybody here, I won't go down there and drill down to anybody else, okay? So let's go get out of here, all right? Now, if you really wanted to drive down there, you really should look at Facebook. Yeah, there's. I'm going to put up. I just read this article today, and it was actually an infographic of all the things that Facebook knows about you. It was really, really scary.
Can you access that about other people?
No. Yeah. Well, yes and no. I mean, well, what you can you target it. So when you make a Facebook ad, you can say, I only want to, like, oh, here's a good thing. So one of the people that is my demographic happens to be nurses and welders. Believe it or not, in most states, these are the people who are most dissatisfied with their jobs and are looking for something else to do. And so I can literally go in there and find somebody by that profession, by age, by, you know, a myriad of all kinds of things that they put in there. Because everything that you write in Facebook is stored in this data farm. So if I want, really what I look for is I look for things that say, I hate my job. When somebody puts that in a, you know, in a Facebook post, I search on that, and that's where I'm going to put an ad to them. When we talked about long tail economy, we're literally talking about getting down to the finite types of things. And Facebook, by the way, is the biggest owner of data about you personally. And if you combine that with this database,
wow.
Okay. So
I've never been on Facebook.
Well, there you go. Probably don't want to go there anymore now. So. So the other one, while I'm here at the library, I want to talk about one other tool that I find very valuable here. So Reference USA is the one that we just did, and that's more business to business. And the other one here is this tool called Business Decisions. This is where a lot of you, so you've got consumer goods, going to go after the consumer. Okay, this is the consumer side. So now I'll be honest with you. I'm gonna show you something here. So first off, let me tell you, there's a thing called the tapestry segment that in here. So I'm just gonna go take because I can never find it on that website. So I'm just gonna frame it with the tapestry manual, and I'll make sure that I bring it the next time. But essentially, getting all that information that we just collected on each individual in the lifestyle database would be really difficult to try to mine all of that in any meaningful way. If anybody's ever played with Google Analytics, they kind of understand. There's so many different ways to generate reports. I mean, it takes a, you know, like a master's degree just to understand how I can associate different things to get what I want. And so what they've done to try to make it a little bit easier is they've created these tapestry segments. So they lump everybody into a particular group. And so if I actually went back to the slide presentation, I think I could probably skip ahead to a slide that would kind of give you that basic information here. So if you can see that, these are the different tapestry segments. And they got some really kind of cutesy names as you go there. So, for example, top rung, suburban splendor, urban melting pot, elders, that kind of stuff. So you might want to originally take a look at, well, which one of these I think might be the best scenario. Now, this is an older version of it because, like I said, they just updated it, and that's why I deleted the old video. But this is the kind of information. This one happens, I just picked one called Aspiring Young Families. All right, and so as I sit there and I look at this, it says, most aspiring young family residents are young, and I highlighted a couple things, young startup families, mixed married couples, with and without children, two-thirds households are families, median age is 30.1 years, they're ethnically diverse from a socioeconomic standpoint, their median household income is $46,400, their median net worth is about $89,000, this says 55% of them have some college credits, 85% have graduated high school, 22% have a bachelor's degree. Talks about their residence, half of the household's rent. The people who own have a median household value of $134,000. The average gross rent that they pay if they rent is about $700. there, now we get into psychographics on the right-hand side here. It talks about their discretionary income is generally spent on their kids in their homes, which you might expect, right? They spend their time online, visiting chat rooms, searching for employment. That was kind of interesting. Playing games, researching information about real estate and market travel plans. You can see they're kind of upwardly mobile kind of things. So you can make some inferences about them. They dine out. They dance. They go to movies. They attend professional ball games. And if you even look on the bottom, it says, so they go to international House of Pancakes, Jack in the Box, Red Robin, and Fuddruckers. So I tell you, I'll leave because we're almost done here for today, but I'm going to leave you with a C story here. So when I used to have my invisible fencing business, quite frankly, the plan was that if I sold an invisible fence in a particular neighborhood, I just cased the heck out of that neighborhood. And on a Saturday, what I would usually do is I would employ my children at the time, and I would give them a whole bunch of business cards, and I would tell them, put them on the doors, you know, on the little right above the door handle or on the windshield of all the cars in the parking lot. And I said, I'll meet you on the other end of the parking lot, and then I'll take you all and buy you a Happy Meal or something like that, right? Because they knew that, you know, people who lived in a neighborhood were going to socialize, or not socialize, but go to a supermarket, the closest supermarket. So if I sold one of that thing, I was going to make sure that it was an invisible fencing card because I didn't know enough to go in there. And when we sit there and we start looking at this stuff on Wednesday, we can start drawing heat maps, okay, of neighborhoods. So if we say we're looking for aspiring young families, now we all know, right, because we're doing psychographic stuff here. We know what your purchases are. We know where you live, right? And so, but we all know that the neighborhoods aren't homogeneous, right? It's not like everybody in there is an aspiring young family. You know, it might be next to an elder or, you know, one of the other, you know, city slickers or whatever the other ones are. But they'll talk about density into the neighborhoods, and then they'll color code neighborhoods for you, and then they'll create a heat map for you essentially, so you can literally begin to say, all right, where are these people, who are the people that I want to go to, and it'll zoom in on a neighborhood. So I can pick one of those that'd be most likely. I'll find somebody who's got pets and those kind of things on invisible fencing. I say, where are most of the people who've got pets? And you know, through that, I'll find that one particular archetype or tapestry segment, and I'll say, let's take a look at it, and then they'll draw a map for me, and it'll go do that. And the bigger I get, you know, it just starts looking like a weather map kind of a thing. It says, you know, here's a rainstorm over here, go over there, you know, and I can zoom in and literally get almost down to the street level. Thank you for listening to How to Turn My Hobby into a Full-Fledged Business. To learn more about Steve Emke, or to learn more about what it takes to own and operate a small business, please visit stevebizblog.com. That's stevebizblog.com. Or look for Steve's many books on various aspects of small business ownership at amazon.com or at stevebizblog.com.